from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Off the Top was presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net, and also the fan hotline. Presented by Super Sullivan Service, Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And of course, as always, the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 412-928-9370, that is the fan text line. And of course, our Pirates reaction was brought to you by Bet365. Let's go to the phone lines right now, however, and go to Latrobe and talk to our good friend Brian Batko of the Post Gazette, who's covering the Steelers. And Brian, what is the daily story of the quarterback?
Well, I will have a better answer for you in a few minutes, Paul. I'm walking up to practice right now. They're probably getting ready to do some of their individual drills, some of the stretching. Obviously, so far, all we've seen from Russell Wilson is, you know, the 7-on-7 he's throwing. And when they go to 11-on-11 and it's going to be a run play, they sometimes let him get in there, take the snap, hand it off to Najee Harris or Jalen Warren, and get out of the way. So, still pretty much a holding pattern for Russ, but at least he's doing a little bit more day by day, incremental steps forward for him.
Yeah, well, is the story of the blocking sled true? Is that how he hurt his calf?
Yeah. I mean, he said that himself, and you know, the new strength and conditioning staff, I don't know, maybe a little bit overzealous. You know, they're not really in position to tell their side of the story ever. Steelers don't have those folks do interviews, the support staffers and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know if that was them being overzealous, maybe Russ being overzealous, maybe a combination, but weird way to start his Steelers tenure for sure.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's just a strange thing, man. He's, you know, he's, you know, if he was like a 10-year vet here, or if he was in this offense for a couple of years, and again, he knows, I mean, he's played enough football, he knows what's going on, but when you have a new quarterback and a new coordinator and a couple of new pieces, you kind of would like them to get as many reps together as possible, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, that to me is the sort of hypocritical thing about all of it, is Mike Tomlin, after every practice, is saying, oh, well, we're being very cautious with him and careful, we're afforded time to do that, but the next day, if he's talking about somebody else that's in practice, a young guy, it's, hey, we only have so many days to do this. We only have so many opportunities for these guys to get up to speed. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fine line. It's a balance as far as that goes. Now, August 1st, if you're into sort of arbitrary dates for when the going gets tough at camp, but, yeah, it'd be nice to see him get out there and get some more continuity and live reps with his teammates.
Well, I mean, it's still very early, but by the same token, isn't the first game of the season tonight? Not for the Steelers.
The Hall of Fame game. Yeah, the Hall of Fame game is tonight between the Texans and the Bears.
Right. So, you know, I mean, it means that we're starting to get down to where teams are going to start to play against other people.
And, Paul, I got a little bit of breaking news for you.
Okay.
Steelers have re-signed linebacker Marcus Golden to a one-year contract.
Oh,
what do you think of that, Brian?
City Limit.
Yeah,
thank you. I'm on the phone with you guys. I didn't see that. Not too surprising because just literally 5-10 minutes ago in my Post-Gazette chat, somebody, I think it was the last question actually, someone said, who's going to be the fourth outside linebacker? And I said, right now, probably Kyron Johnson, but he got dinged up yesterday to an unknown degree. Jeremiah Moon, you know, looks the part, and he's a former Ravens cast off. And I said it could also be somebody who's not on the roster just yet. And Marcus Golden, not on the roster until right now. So I guess they weren't feeling great about those options at the number four role. I think it's more of an indictment of those guys than it is second-year pass rusher Nick Herbig.
Now, Brian, do you think that this might be, I mean, obviously not the same type of situation and scenario, but could lead the way for Patrick Peterson to potentially return as well, depending on what happens with the corners?
Oh, man. That one, I don't think so. I mean, I just think that they could have already gone down that road. I think they actually have more depth there than they do at outside linebacker, at least in terms of, you know, different body types, NFL experience, younger guys. To me, Austin, if you were going to add another corner at this stage of the game, I think it would make more sense to get somebody who's actually played a lot of NFL reps at that inside position, because that's where you're weakest with Cam Sutton suspended, Deanie Bishop undrafted, trying to learn the ropes. You know, Grayland Arnold is sort of just right now he's trying to make plays, but he's a journeyman. So I think it would actually make more sense to get somebody with a little bit more bona fides at that position, even if it's obviously not as big a name as Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, and I think that's, Brian, that's the thing. They've done a pretty good job of, over the years, finding, you know, those kind of guys throughout camp or even at the end of camp, right? I mean, just wait for teams to start cutting guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, and even within their own ranks, Paul, as you know, I mean, they were really on the money with Mike Hilton's evaluation once upon a time, and he was an undrafted, off-the-scrap-heap type of dude, but they got him in camp, got a long look at him, liked his demeanor, liked his aggressive nature and physical play as a nickel corner, and that kind of seems like a philosophy for them in this defense, is like, with that specific role, even though it's very important, it's a starter, so it's a significant job in today's NFL with as much as the Steelers and every team plays nickel and even dime defense. You know, it doesn't seem like they want to invest a lot in that player, but they more so just want to find somebody with that underdog makeup mentality and chip on their shoulder. So they tend to get a lot of undrafted free agents, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks who pan out there. It's kind of an interesting wrinkle with the way the Steelers have built their roster. And obviously now they're trying to do it again with Beanie Bishop.
93.7 The Fan is your station for complete training camp coverage. Presented by Smale Kia and brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. We're talking to Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette. Brian, the flip side of the quarterback thing is Justin Fields. You've seen a lot of him. Obviously, most of it has been, you know, football in T-shirt and shorts. But I don't know. What are your observations?
I mean, there's been highs and lows. And to me, I'm a little bit more encouraged by the highs than I am discouraged by the lows with Fields. I mean, he's somebody that you probably take it with a grain of salt until you get back into the more meaningful opportunities, whether it's, you know, regular season. We don't know if he's going to get that chance, at least right now in 2024. But even the preseason, when there's a little bit more pressure on you, you're in a live setting where the other team can hit you, take you down, strip the ball, pick you off more than the Steelers Steelers teammates have done thus far, though we know the little love tap from Landon Roberts yesterday sparked a nice little fracas. So, you know, I think there's been some good, and you know, it's a positive development for me so far. I think he's looked better in this training camp than from what I saw out of him in OTAs and minicamp back on the South Side a couple months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that everybody. He's got so much potential, and he's got so many, you know, God-given natural ability and all that other stuff that people sort of are really intrigued by the idea of him, aren't they?
It's hard to quit a guy like that, Paul. I mean, at any level, really, of professional sports, and, I mean, even trickle down to college sports, the 4- and 5-star recruits, they get more chances than the undersized 2- and 3-star recruits, because there's always going to be another coach out there or another scout out there who sees all the physical tools and says, yeah, I can bring the best out of this guy. I can make it click for him. So, I mean, that's not always the fairest way to divvy up, you know, jobs around the NFL or whatever, but it's not about fair. It's about, you know, pedigree. A lot of the times the raw talent can't teach the size, can't teach the speed. He's put that on display here and there at St. Vincent, but again, going to be a lot more intrigued to see what he does in the preseason. I sure hope the Steelers give him quite a bit of reps, because I think he does need that environment to take that next step forward.
Apparently, according to Mike DeFabo 1 minute ago, Justin Fields again took all the first team reps in this initial segment of practice. That's not exactly what we wanted to hear, is it?
Well, yeah, and it could be setting the stage. I mean, maybe Russell Wilson's first, you know, full practice, such as it is this time of year, will be the Friday Night Lights session tomorrow night at Latrobe Memorial Stadium. That's usually when the intensity gets ratcheted up a little bit more. I'd say the two most physical days generally of camp are that first practice in pads, which we had on Tuesday, and then Friday Night Lights, where it's, you know, the bigger crowd. The fans are kind of right on top of you, and, you know, it does try to simulate the game atmosphere a little bit more in these early days of training camp practice. So, yeah, and hey, I think every day that this lingers on for Russ, the calf, there's going to be people skeptical. Hey, is this worse than they're letting on? Is Mike Tomlin being less than truthful and transparent again with an injury to a star player, much like the Najee Harris issue a couple years ago that ended up being a lisfranc? Mike Tomlin did not give us really any indication at the beginning that that's what it was. We know it hampered him for a while, and you just hope that's not going to be the same deal with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think that's the key there. Roman Wilson out for a couple of weeks or whatever, that's a little bit of a setback for a rookie, right? I mean, this is the time where you're trying to learn everything and sort of make your way. I mean, I guess the hope is that it's not more than a week or two.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to get that week-to-week characterization slapped on anybody, but especially a rookie who's trying to learn the offense, trying to kind of adjust to the speed, the physicality of the NFL game. I mean, he did a really good job of getting open and making big plays, being explosive. In Michigan's offense, Big Ten's got good defenses, but he also had some of the best players around him, obviously the best team in college football around him. Now it's a different kind of learning curve up here. I thought he got off to a slow start in those closed practices of OTAs and minicamp, but I thought he was maybe turning a corner out here at St. Vincent College. So, yeah, it's hard not to think back to Calvin Austin III's rookie year when he went down with a foot injury right before the first preseason game. So we never got to see him translate the practice field work to the real deal in stadium. And obviously in the end, he had another setback and missed his entire rookie year on IR. Way too early to speculate like anything like that will happen for Roman Wilson. But, second time in 3 years, a bad luck injury for a young receiver.
That is really tough. So how is that position, because it's an important position, how is it all shaping up right now?
I'll say this much. I think the Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin sort of coupling of maybe the two and three right now have had some really good moments in camp. I haven't seen as much competition from the guys behind them that I was expecting. Quez Watkins from Philly hasn't stood out much to me. Scotty Miller, Dez Fitzpatrick, none of them are really doing a whole lot from what I've observed. So, I mean, there's still going to be the people out there who just no name on this receiver depth chart is going to satisfy them as long as Brandon Ayuk is kind of sort of dangling and available from San Francisco. But I mean, I liked what I've seen from Van Jefferson. I think they're going to take a committee approach to that number two receiver role. For instance, Van Jefferson, might get the second most snaps of any receiver on this team behind George Pickens, but Calvin Austin might run get targeted on a higher percentage of his snaps. So it's going to be divvied up. It's not going to be the traditional 1-2 that the Steelers have had to make.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the key. One guy that people have talked a lot about is Peyton Wilson. Apparently, he's quite often the first guy out on the field, last guy to leave, all that other stuff. He has a chance to have an impact this year, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, everything you heard about him coming out of college, everything you could see about him on film at NC State, I think you're seeing that show up here as well. I mean, just he's really active. He always seems to be around the ball. He plays super hard. He's got a nose for it. And, I mean, his teammates couldn't be, praising him more. And sometimes us reporters sort of, lead them in those directions. It's nice to have the strong quotes from people. But even assuming that they're not going to say anything too negative about a teammate, especially a rookie, I feel like they've gone above and beyond to talk about how mature he is, his approach to the game, how much he loves it, how hard he works, how relentless he is. All of these are really good signs for somebody who I think is going to have some kind of role as a rookie, even if it's sub-package situational type deal at linebacker.
Yes, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Also, listen to Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m., 93.7thefan.com. Contesting page. Brian, we've heard a lot about and we've read a lot about all of these tight ends are really, really happy in this offense, and everything is going to be great for the tight end position in this offense. Have you observed this?
Yeah, I think it will be much improved. I mean, Pat Freiermuth is getting as many targets as I can ever remember him getting in practice. And, you know, I think that's partially due to the scheme that Arthur Smith is known to have philosophically. I think it's partially due to the quarterbacks always trusting that if they put it anywhere in his vicinity, more often than not, he's going to come down with that catch somehow, or maybe draw an interference penalty, which we know is not always adjudicated this time of year when you're practicing against each other. But yeah, I mean, I think they're going to run a ton of 12 personnel. We've even seen a lot of three tight ends. It's, you know, Connor Hayward being kind of the hybrid player that he is, sort of half tight end, half H-back. But yeah, I mean, I think that's very much going to be a part of their identity. And that, too, to me, lessens the need for that traditional top two wide receivers, you know, 1A and 1B. No, I think they want to kind of streamline the looks to George Pickens, the role allocation among both of those position groups. It's going to come into focus if Pickens and Freiermuth are both healthy on top of your 1-2 punch in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that I've read a lot about all these tight ends and how much they love the offense and how different it is. Have you guys had a bunch of chances to talk to Arthur Smith, and what are your thoughts on him?
No, not yet this camp. I actually think he might be doing an interview after today's practice. So if there's anything you want to know, Paul, just text me. Maybe I can pass that along to Arthur.
Yes. Was Arthur Smith the coach of the 28-3 debacle?
No. That was it? Mike
Smith,
it
all runs together for me.
But Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. No, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for those Falcons. And, I mean, it's turned out all right for him. Granted, the Super Bowl still eludes him, but probably the best offensive mind in the game right now, if it's not Andy Reid.
Yeah, no, I'm just teasing. That's right. It was the other. What was the guy's name?
Was it Mike Smith?
Was it the Commanders? He's now the Commanders' coach, isn't he?
Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn, wasn't he the head coach of the Falcons when they had the 28-3 debacle?
You might be right about that. Yeah.
Dan
Quinn.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Austin. So, yeah, he was there. Yeah, he was there for a while, actually.
Yeah. So that I guess we can. But I do. I do. I'm very interested in who the other receiver is. And I'm also interested in whether or not they're going to do the, you know, package that everybody wants them to put a package in for Justin Fields. The problem with that, Brian, and I've said this a number of times, is he's your backup. So if you have a package for him and he gets hurt, you're in a bad way because your backup is now out. Just, you know what I mean? It's different, I think, than if you've got a guy like Taysom Hill where they had another, you know, they had a different backup quarterback. You can get away with that kind of stuff, but I don't know. Am I wrong about that?
I just wrote all that down verbatim. I'm going to pass it to Arthur Smith and say, hey, this is from Paul Zeiss, 93.7 The Fan and the Post-Gazette. He wanted to ask you these couple things. I'm standing in for him. But, no, I mean, I think I'm still a little skeptical that there is going to be a package for Fields. That's never really been something the Steelers have done, even when they've had more mobile quarterbacks behind Ben Roethlisberger. To me, I mean, as long as this calf problem is not going to linger or not worse than we are sort of hearing, then, you know, Russell Wilson should still have a good amount of mobility to his own self that you can utilize in those short yardage or red zone situations. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know about that, but it is obvious when you watch Fields out here, the first step that he has, the burst, the long strides, I mean, you can see why he's ripped off so many long runs for the Bears over the last few years and why you're even starting to hear more NFL analysts say he actually might be the best running quarterback in the NFL, even ahead of Lamar Jackson these days.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is he's got such a skill set. It's really hard for me, you know, in many ways, it's really hard for me to imagine that they're not going to try and use him in some ways, but I also think it's really difficult. It's really difficult to put him out there a lot because he is your backup quarterback.
Yeah, he'd be coming in cold off the sideline in those scenarios. So how much are you really trusting him to throw the ball? You got to figure the defense would take that same approach as well.
Right. So we'll have to see what happens here. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be very, very interesting just to kind of see, how they sort of use him and mix him in. Last one, I'll let you go, Brian. The annual let's let the veterans have days off and all that, has that begun yet?
Oh, yeah. Isaac Seumalo's already had a couple days off. Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt might be at two each as well. So Minka Fitzpatrick was off yesterday. I mean, yeah, it's all giving opportunities to the younger guys as well, making sure nobody goes down. And yesterday with that melee, it was a good thing probably that the most valuable defensive Steelers weren't really anywhere near the play other than Patrick Queen might have found his way in there. Joey Porter Jr., I think, lost his mind momentarily and threw a punch at a teammate. So that at least spiced up training camp. That might have been the best skirmish since I've been covering the team in 2019.
Well, Brian, hopefully you get treated to some more theater today to make your day go faster.
Thank you. We'll see you guys.
All right, brother. That is Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 91 today, sunny skies. City Limits, am I the only one that seems to be concerned about the fact that if you put a package together for Justin Fields, you're essentially putting your backup quarterback out there and risking him getting hurt?
No, I 100% understand the reasoning. I also think that you can't live in a fear bear, and I know one play can change everything, but you can't be so afraid that Justin Fields will get hurt. I mean, they even thought about putting him, maybe even if it was just a split second, on kickoff returns. Maybe that was just a flabbergasted idea from Danny Smith. But at the same time, you can create a package for Fields and not use him, or you can use him once or twice. I think the difference is that they're not throwing him out there 7, 8, 9, 10 plays a game. You're only talking about, you know, two or three plays to probably spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, again, and there are some plays that they could use with him where maybe he wouldn't be in that one much of harm's way, right? Because you got to figure they're going to do some throwbacks to him and, you know, he'll throw it or,
right,
you know, some different kinds of actions where they're trying to get him out into, you know, open space so that he can run and use his legs and, you know.
And so they're not going to put him in positions where he takes unnecessary hits either. I don't think he'll put himself in that type of position either.
Right. I just think that is one important distinction for me when people talk about putting a package in. You've got to be very, very, very careful. Very careful about putting your backup quarterback out there because if he gets hurt, then you're in a little bit of a pickle. By the way, Austin, the Humane Society apparently came yesterday.
Did they? Did they help the fox?
It was a fox, not a coyote.
It was a fox. You know, the funny thing is, Paul, I went and picked up my car. It was getting worked on yesterday. And the first thing that was asked to me when I got there was great. Did Paul ever get to help the coyote?
Yeah.
Well, people were genuinely concerned for the coyote. I was very happy our listeners were concerned.
A lot of people were, and, you know, when you looked at it, you know, from where I was standing and the photo I took, absolutely looks like a little, like a coyote.
I thought it was a coyote. Yeah,
absolutely. So either way, I mean, it's a fox, and if it's limping around like that, you know, it was all mangy and limping around like that, I can't imagine it was healthy.
Right.
Which makes it just equally as, you know, I don't want to say dangerous, but if someone got too close to it and it bit them, who knows? I mean, you can't have...
You don't want the fox getting hit either or right. Anything bad to happen.
Exactly. You want to get him safe. So apparently, from what I'm told, either the Humane Society or one of these, you know, groups like that came and took care of
Now, when you say take care of the fox, did they help the fox or did they do the unexplainable and unspeakable?
I didn't ask. I was just told they came and took care of
business. That's always my fear when I hear something about that. Don't hurt the fox.
No, I get it.
Be humane.
I get it.
Don't hurt them.
But I get it, but some of them have to be put down because either they're rabid or whatever. Or maybe in this one's case, you know, it was limping around. It was seriously injured. It really was.
Well, that's why you help them and nurse them back to health.
Yeah. So anyway, I did my duty. You know, the first half hour of the show, I was very concerned about the well-being of the coyote.
I'm still concerned. We need a wellness check.
Yeah, we need a wellness check.
Just to make sure that this coyote fox is alive.
Here's the thing. and this is what, you know, there have been a number of coyote sightings in this parking lot, including one by me when I worked one night. I used to work late night, right?
Yeah.
I used to work after the Pirates. And I walked out, you know, I was done, maybe 2 a.m. And they're walking across. I was like, oh, there's a dog walking. What is going on here? And then I looked, and then it kind of like walked sort of like right down here, you know? And I slowly but surely backed up and got back into the building because I could tell.
It wasn't a dog.
It was definitely a coyote. And then so I said something to the, you know, whoever was in charge at the time here. And they got in touch with the building management people or whatever. And sure enough, we got an email from Foster Plaza, you know, or whatever. They were saying, hey, listen, you know, we've had another coyote sighting, and there's been a few. And I know Paul Rasmussen, you know, the news guy over on KDKA, he's seen them on multiple occasions walking across the road when he's coming to work in the middle of the night or whatever. So,
well, he gets here at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one reason why when I saw him, the fox yesterday, and I was looking at it, I was like, boy, that is a coyote, I think. That really looks like a coyote. But it was a fox. And I don't know. I mean,
which means there's a family of foxes or coyotes just hanging around Foster Plaza. Yeah, not a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's really the reality of it, if you think about it.
Take them out to, you know, the middle of the woods somewhere. They don't belong here in the plaza. It's dangerous for them in the plaza. But it's like when I see deer trying to cross the parkway, like, what the hell's going on here?
Right, exactly. By the same token, in their defense, and I don't want to sound like I'm some, you know, super PETA person or something. But in their defense, we've built a lot of things and taken away a lot of woods areas, and you know what I mean, areas where they live or where they would live, like for instance, right up around North Park. My cousin lives up there. They built so many homes right around North Park, right? You know, I was sitting the other night on his porch and literally like 10 deer just kind of walked by looking for trees to eat or whatever, because there's nowhere for them to go.
I saw a deer this morning in my backyard running around. We have a lot of land, but still, they like to frequent our backyard.
And that's why you also see an uptick in bear sightings, because we're taking away forests and taking away, you know, woods areas, and we're taking away, you know what I'm saying?
Bring back the forest.
And we're building housing plans and strip malls and, you know, whatever. And they just, there's not that many places to go, you know? And that's why, like, I don't litter at all. But the one thing I will throw out my car window is, like, if I eat an apple, you know, the core of the apple or something, just because there's animals out there searching for food.
Yeah, they could eat that.
They're starving and searching for food.
Don't throw your gum out the window.
No.
That hurts the animals.
I don't chew gum.
I have a problem when people do that.
I don't chew gum.
I yell
gum
at them.
No, I don't chew gum.
When I see somebody in the car do that a couple times.
I don't chew gum. But if I have an apple or a pear, you know what I mean, I'll throw the core out there, because it's something that animals, and they're all searching for something to eat.
Right.
You know, so in their defense, we're making it more and more difficult for them to, we're making it more and more difficult for them to have a place to live.
Before we go to the break that we are kind of late for, we have a message from Andrew Lindbergh.
Paul, I actually did a report on littering in college, and one of the things that I thought was okay was to throw things like apples and stuff like that out the window. They say not to, because it'll track deer closer to the roads, making it likely to hit them. So just little PSA.
Yes,
now,
PSA.
Andrew, do we have an update on the fox? Do you know anything about the fox?
No, I hope it's not dead.
There we go.
That's the sentiment of all of us.
Now I got to think. I got to rethink it. But, of course, you know what? I throw it far enough away from the road, I don't feel.
Yeah, throw it deep into the woods.
Right? I throw it deep.
Throw a 70-yard spiral into the woods.
All right, we're up against it. We got to get to it. It's 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.